Welcome to Every Generation, the broadcast ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossfields, located in Jamesburg, New Jersey, where we teach through the entire Bible, verse by verse, and make application to every generation, so we can grow in our relationship with God.
Okay, we're going to be in Acts chapter 22, starting with verse 12. Acts 22, starting with verse 12, and we'll try to get through Acts all the way through Revelation tonight. Pillows will be on sale, yes. Okay. So let's pick up in verse 12 of Acts 22. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour, I looked up at him. So just a little filler. This is where Paul is now in Jerusalem. He's being, there's a mob, a group of Jewish people that are very upset at him. They're bringing him to the magistrates. He is now giving his testimony to all the people that are there. And we talked last time a little bit about how important your testimony is to the people that you associate with. You show them what the crucified, resurrected, indwelling God is doing in your life. You're not the same person you used to be. And he's still working on you to get you to the place that he already knows you're a finished product. So in this verse 12, that certain Ananias, his name means whom Jehovah has graciously given. Now Paul, remember, is an enemy of the Messianic Jews or any Gentiles that received him as their Lord and Savior. Ananias is one of the devout men in Damascus. I love the meaning of his name, Jehovah has graciously given. God always puts someone in your path. Or he puts you in someone's path to bless them, to encourage them. A child of his, a daughter of the king, a son of the king. How many people in your lifetime can you look back and say, oh, I remember when so-and-so or shared the Lord with me or prayed with me or really came along in a tough part of my life? Well, this was Ananias, sent there by God himself. It's not a coincidence that Ananias met with Saul, who becomes Paul. And notice it says he was a devout man according to the law. This guy, Ananias, was totally committed, sold out for Christ. And his belief in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and that prophecy that was fulfilled in Christ, he was totally on board. And his life reflected that. And God chose him to meet with this man, Saul, on that road to Damascus. And if you remember, he was on the road to go to Damascus to arrest believers in Jesus. Believers in the way, it was called at this time. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And basically that was saying you're going to be witnesses of me where you live, to the next town, and to all the earth. What is the all the earth to you and me? Well, it's the people we meet in our lifetime. It's the people we meet that we may never see again. But there's also the people we see every day, the people we work with or associate with. Jesus is working through you to touch their heart. And that's it. Only you have the power of the Holy Spirit to influence that person that you're coming in contact with. At the end of verse 13, it says, "And at the same hour I looked up at him." So Saul was blinded. Jesus knocked him off his horse. He humbled him. We talked about that last time. And now, for 3 days, he was blind. He was led by the hand into the town of Damascus. Ananias met him. And Ananias says, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." Understand, though, this Ananias. He calls Saul brother. This was an enemy of Jesus coming into town. So what does it take a child of God and the move of God's Spirit on him to be able to receive an enemy that is sending people to their death? Had to be a supernatural act. That is why somebody maybe you're going through right now a difficult time with, that could be the very person that God put in your path to help them see him. They're blind right now spiritually, but you're that Ananias that God has put in their path to help them see him. Think about that or understand that as we go through tough times with tough people. When you receive the light of the world, Jesus, when you receive the light of the world, you receive sight. No light, no sight. And that's a spiritual light. And I think if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're born again, God has shed light on his word to help understand it, in fellowship with other people that you interact with, different ministries you might be involved in. But as you keep being devoted to God, talking to him, reading his word, fellowshipping with other believers, there'll be more light. You'll see more things that you didn't see when you were first a believer in Jesus. In Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, it says, "You," Jesus is saying this, "you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." All based on that relationship. How tight are you with the Lord? How much do you know him? How much are you getting to know him? The more you get to know him, the more he is going to shine through you to a world and individuals whose lives are dark. That's awesome that he chooses to use us in that capacity. Verse 14 of Acts 22. "Then he said, 'The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth.'" Remember in the last verse, Ananias called Saul brother. Said brother. Saul being blind, what a comforting word. Because anything could have happened to him blind. He was never blind before. He couldn't see. He didn't know if something was going to bump into him or hit him. He didn't know what was going to happen. And he heard this voice after a few days, "Brother Saul." And in verse 14, three things I'd like to bring out in this verse. Knowing his will, seeing Jesus, and hearing the voice of his mouth. To know his will is to know his word. To see Jesus is to recognize him in the people that you interact with. Seeing the life of that person. Seeing that this person that you maybe used to know is totally different now because of Jesus. And to hear the voice of his mouth. Again, the word of God is living and active. We pray that you have ears to hear his word, because God speaks to you through his word. Verse 15, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. So Saul is being given a prophetic word of what's going to take place throughout his life. But understand, his testimony right now is towards the end of his life, and he's reflecting back on the faithfulness of God, because he remembers, he never forgot the road to Damascus. You might have a road to Damascus that you were on when God got your attention. And you'll never forget that special time that God reached down and opened up your eyes, maybe for the very first time. In John 15, 16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And the beautiful part of that book of John is that, again, I don't think we should ever get tired of this. God chose you. God chose me. And through the supernatural power of his Holy Spirit living in every believer, he does things in you, but he also does things through you that impact other people for eternity. That's amazing when you think about that. And he's appointed you, like he has Saul, to go and bear fruit. Not fruit like you buy in a grocery store that was delicious and then you throw the core away, but fruit that remains. Something that stays long after you're gone. Think of the fruit right now that we're talking about. God's word is still active and alive and present in 2024, just like it was 2,000 years ago. It's still producing fruit. And Paul, or Saul, and Ananias, those were just two guys that were fruit producers because of the living God in them. You're a fruit producer. I'm a fruit producer. The size of the fruit is according to how much you allow God to cultivate himself in you, again, through prayer, through reading his word, through interacting with other people in his name. And that never, ever stops. There's not a retirement date on what I just said. Isn't that awesome? That goes on forever. It's a beautiful thing. It's a supernatural thing. It's a God thing. You know, we love a personal God. We know who our God is. Jesus. He's got a name. He's not a mystic figure. He lived on this earth for 33 years. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We can identify. He was tempted in all ways that you and I are, but he never gave in to sin. We understand the consequences of sin because we're sinners. We know what that brought on us. We know in a world of justice that sin has to be tried. It was on the cross. Jesus took our sin upon him and paid the penalty for your imprisonment. Your imprisonment was a lifetime in the lake of fire. Never to get out. He's chosen you that you would receive him, that you received him and you find out that you're chosen. You know his will. And as you keep listening and reading and interacting and having your Bible study, he's going to reveal even more of his will to you because you're going to grow in maturity. There are many false gods. We sang the one song and it had the little G's. You know, and I was thinking of, imagine in the universe, If God was an optometrist and we would go and read the sign, his letters would be as big as the sky. God. And then you look at these small G's. They would be all the way down and you couldn't even read them. It's so small. Because gods are creations of man. They're not the real thing. They are men and women's gods that they put in place of their one true God. And it can be good things. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. But anything, right, that we put ahead of God is an idol. And I think we've all had idols in our life. But God, through his strength and his power, helped us, or he knocked down the idol, and we just walked away from it. And that's the mercy and grace of God. There's one God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. One God of the Holy Scriptures revealed in the man God, Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. That word witness at the end, or in verse 15, the word martus or martyr. In a secular sense, it would be like a spectator of anything. You're a witness. You know, you saw the guy hit the home run or kick the ball in the goal, or you saw from a maybe you saw an accident, you know, and you were a witness in a court of law. Well, biblically speaking, when it comes to these kind of martyrs, these are guys and girls who, after the example of Jesus Christ, they showed the genuineness and the strength of their faith by undergoing a violent death for Jesus Christ. Heard something, I think it was today or yesterday. There's about 250 million people a year that suffer for the name of Jesus. And I think it's close to 100,000 are killed for their belief in Jesus. So that martyrdom is still going on today. It's not just in the New and the Old Testament. It's happening right now as we speak. That's why it's so important we pray. Sometimes we had, I think Denny Barger was here. You know, he's over in the Middle East and in countries that if we tried to do this in an open air, they would kill us. So things are going on to your brothers and sisters that we're going to meet one day in heaven. So always keep them in prayer. Verse 16. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What I like about the verbs throughout the Bible is they're action words. They're not passive. Here, it says, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Let's get on with this. Let's start going. You know, Christianity are followers of Jesus that are actively pursuing him. They're running the race. They're not a spectator. They're in the game. They're in the battle. And they're carrying out God's will in their daily life. The title of tonight's message is Every Step I Take. A lot of times, like I was going to walk from here back to the sound booth, you know, it's a pretty straight path. But how about in our life steps? How about in our life experience? How many times do things not end up the way you thought they were going to when you started out on your travel? I think we all know what I'm talking about. There's things that happen that you never expected. That's why it's so important to be in fellowship with the Lord, to have a tightness with your Savior, because he knows what's coming. He prepares your heart. He prepares your spirit. I know most of you here have been baptized, and we just had a baptism 2 weeks ago, and again, baptism does not save you. Only trust in what Jesus did at the cross, that he died for your sins and for my sins, that he was taken on the judgment that we deserve. But baptism, what that is an outward show. It's being obedient to what the Lord calls us to do. To be baptized. We're telling the world that I'm dying to myself. I'm going under the water. It's no longer I that lives, but it is now Christ who lives in me, the resurrected Christ. You're an eternal creature that's going to end up in either heaven or hell based on your decision, what you do with what Jesus did on the cross for you. And remember, the Father put his stamp of approval on what Jesus did on the cross when Jesus rose from the dead. And when Jesus said it is finished, he meant no longer does there have to be a penalty paid for your sins or my sins or the sins of the world. You wash away your sins by calling on the name of the Lord. That's where salvation, repentance, and obedience come in. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Call on him. If you don't know Jesus and you're listening tonight, either here or on the internet, call on Jesus. Say, "Jesus, I just want you to be my Lord. I just want you to be my Savior. I'm sorry for my lifestyle. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to put all of my sins on you, Lord, even the sins I can't even remember anymore." And he will. It's that simple. Verse 17 of Acts 22. "Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance. And I saw him saying to me, 'Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me.'" Notice Saul. Remember, Saul and Paul are the same person here. So when Saul returned to Jerusalem, he went to the temple. He was still following his faith. He just met the Messiah that the prophets had talked about on the road to Damascus. And he went and was praying in the temple. Don't stop going to church. People have. I mentioned that, I think, Sunday. COVID was, a few years ago. Some people never returned to church. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, "Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Guys, girls, we're a family. We're a team. There's unity and strength in a team. Satan is doing a great job throughout the world in dividing the church. He's dividing families. Don't let that happen on your watch. We should be looking up, waiting for the return of Christ, but we should be keeping busy doing our Father's business here. And you know what to do if you're in His Word, if you're talking to Him, if you're fellowshipping with other believers. I love this part that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, "Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me." So God is telling Paul what to do and what to expect. And I think of that word trance, and I was just thinking how it's like, have you ever been so focused on something that you don't realize what else is going on around you? And hopefully sometime when you've been praying or reading God's Word, there could be craziness going on around you, but you're just zeroed in. And here in this particular place where Paul was in a trance, God spoke to him. Nothing else mattered. God just got his full attention. And God wants our full attention, doesn't he? When we spend time with him, when we talk to him. Try to carve out that time, if you haven't already, that you're just with your Lord. Even if it's a short amount of time, he just wants to spend time with you. He loves you so much. Before we get off this verse, I just wanted to just think, I was thinking of a couple of things with baptism. You know, in Romans 6:3 it says, "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death." We were baptized into his death. And there's different places in the scriptures it says, it's no longer that you live, but it's Christ in you. So if things are still impacting you, if things are still affecting you, like really throwing you off, just get before the Lord, because that's the part of your flesh that's still alive. You want to just put that at the cross. Let Jesus take all that from you so you can just walk in that newness and freshness with him all the time throughout the years. And then it says in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Sometimes we forget that. We have put on Christ. And if we're walking with him, that goes back. People are seeing something different in you. And they might even say that. "You seem so different than when I knew you 5 years ago or 10 years ago." And then you have an open door saying, "Well, there's a lot that's taken place in those 5 or 10 years. I came to meet my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he's changing me. I'm not the person I used to be." In 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 to 13, it says, "Then he said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' Now Elijah was running from the king and the queen. He was afraid. But just before this, he had done magnificent miracles that no one else could have done. The Lord just blew him away by what he did. But isn't that our human nature? We might be so blown away by things that have happened as a God thing in our life, and then maybe minutes later or a day later, we find ourselves struggling and we forget about what God has done. So many times we need to remember throughout our lifetime, it's not bad to have like a little journal or just reflect back on all the positive things God has brought you through or has done in your life and the tough jams that he has brought you through. And you're still here today. It didn't defeat you. Maybe you were knocked down, but God picked you back up again. And I love that part where Elijah heard this still small voice. You know, he was expecting God to be in the big things. You know, the huge 50,000 people at a concert thing. Or in a magnificent type of miracle thing. Something that's ground shaking. And God can work through those things, and he does. But he wants to speak to us when we're quiet. When we're settled. And he just wants to speak to us. And finally, Elijah was in a spot where he heard God's voice. And God said to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" basically saying to Elijah, I'm your God. We can do anything together. You don't have to run from any man or woman or any government or any kingdom. I'm your God. Capital G, capital O, capital D. Not these small little guys. Acts 9:15 that we saw when we first, or I guess at least a year ago, if not longer. Acts 9:15 says, but the Lord said to me, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. This was speaking about Saul. I've chosen him, guys. He's going to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And guess what? We can see the scripture and look back to where Paul came from. God, the angels, they see where you started and where you are today. God knows where you'll be X amount of days or years from here. You don't, I don't. That's why every step we take has got to be in the Lord. Because I'm sure we all want to be stepping with the Lord when we meet Him face to face. Paul, in this section of Acts 22, he's trying to convince God that he's the right man for the job to talk to the Jews. Even though God said, even in, like in Acts, that he's going to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings. And even before that, we read that I need to remove you from this situation because they're coming after you. But Paul, who had a heart for God, also was stubborn, which it was a strong part of his personality because it got him through so many other things. But you have to listen to what God says in His Word and not fight it. And he was a person, remember, that God said, why do you, the goads, you're always backing up into the goads and they're sticking you like the cattle prods. You're always fighting against me and you're always feeling resistance and you're going through hard times. Remember, Paul also was a member, he was a Pharisee. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. Verse 19 of Acts 22, so I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprison and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. He was presenting to God his resume. Why he was the guy for the job. They know me. I can have an impact on them. They'll listen to me. In Luke 11:47, it says, woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Talking about the Pharisees. Talking about even Saul before he was completed you. I think of the verse, why do you call me Lord, Lord again? And you're not doing my word. You don't do the things that I say. Paul is just like us, I believe, or at least like me. I don't know where you fit in with being like a Paul. But like Paul, sometimes I think I know better than God. Or at least I act that way and then I say, I was stupid, Lord. I didn't even check with you on this. I thought I had it wired. But unless he allows everything to work from my brain to my foot, I cannot take that step without his permission. He can stop me from taking that step. He can stop my next breath, my next heartbeat. He's in total control. So why do I try to be in total control when my God is in total control? Because like sheep, we go astray sometimes. But the good shepherd brings us back. God said to Job in chapter 38, verse 4, "Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Pastor Paul and I were talking before about just physicists and their equations and all that stuff, and I don't know if you have that kind of a mind, but that is so foreign, you know, to me, those kind of things. But yet, when I argue or you argue with the Lord over His Word and try to convince Him, you, like me, are dead wrong. We're dead wrong. Verse 21. "Then He said to me, 'Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles.'" So he loved Paul. He listened to Paul. "Lord, here's my resume. I'm ready to go in there. I'll turn this town upside down. All these Jewish guys, Pharisees, Sadducees, they'll all be believers in you." And God is probably just saying, "I love this guy. He's so awesome." But then He says, "Paul, depart. I'm going to send you places that you've never been before to reach out to the Gentiles." In closing tonight, God directs us one step at a time. I think all of us would love to know what's coming this week. Right? What's going to happen the next few days? Or how's this whole thing going to work out, Lord? You know, with everything that's going on in our country today and in our world. Now, He does give His prophecy, but day to day, you never know. You never know what's going to happen on any given minute, hour, day, week. We don't know. So that's why it's so important that we take steps of faith, and faith comes by hearing and hearing God's Word. And we don't want to just hear God's Word on Wednesday or Sunday. We want to hear it throughout the day, 24/7, 365. We want to meditate on it. When we see something, we want to pray. We want to recall. God will bring to your heart those things that you've already put in your vault. So put a lot of His Word in your vault, which is your heart. And then go into the vault when you're in situations, both good and bad. Remember, you can't take the second step of faith. I can't get to the cross by taking one step. I got to take another step and another step. It's the same thing with our walk with the Lord. We got to take the first step before we take the next step. But that next step, with God's grace, is really the first step again, isn't it? Think about that. Every step we take, He's ordained. Beautiful. And I finish with this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:7. "We walk by faith and not by sight." Don't let the things you see throw you. Don't let the things you're looking at or listening to mess you up, get you worried or anxious. God has everything under control. It's no surprise to Him. Your individual life, your individual heart, the things that are going on in your world or our world is no surprise. We win. God is putting everything in place, and we just got to take a step at a time, faith in Him. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank You for Your Word that is always awesome. We always pray, Lord, that we would always have ears to hear, eyes to see the spiritual things that You're trying to show us. Lord, I pray tonight if there's anybody here on the internet that doesn't know You, that they want to start that great adventure with You, and if that applies to you here or on the internet, we're just going to say a prayer. And the words are not as important as the intent of your heart that God already knows. But say this prayer: Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I have done so many things because I just wanted to do them. And some of those things, Lord, were against you. I thank you for coming down and dying on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. Please forgive me. I want to turn from my ways and follow your way. Dear Jesus, pour out your Holy Spirit on me. Fill me with your Spirit, that I may love you and follow you all the days of my life. And I just ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. If you said that prayer and you're watching, there's a number on the screen. Just call it and we'll send out material to you to get you started on your walk with the Lord. And if you're here, I'll be up here for a few minutes after. I'll give you a starter's kit to get going with the Lord.
You've been listening to Every Generation from Calvary Chapel Crossfields. We meet for Bible study Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Sunday service begins at 10:30 a.m. On Sundays, we have children's church for all ages, in addition to infant and nursery care. You can find out more about the ministry here at Calvary Chapel Crossfields by going to www.cccrossfields.org, where you can also watch or listen to previous messages. If you have any questions or have a prayer request, please email us at contact@cccrossfields.org. Thanks for listening, and may God bless.